Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Happy New Year! It's good to see everyone here. If this is your first time here, my name's Steve Kovitz. We're going to be looking at Psalm 77 in just a moment, so keep your Bible open. Keep your Bible open. It'd be good to have that in front of you. Don't forget, if you forgot to bring one, there's some on the desk over there. If you don't own one, we'd love to give you a Bible. But it's great to see you. I'm glad I found my way here. New venue for us, isn't it? We love moving around. I've lost track, Steve. How many venues have we been in 17 years? I think we're up to 7 or 8 different venues. So, Bronte, you might have been semi-serious. Next week, just check where we're going to turn up to. One of the joys of renting for where we meet. A huge shout out to the people that made today happen. Just on Friday and Saturday, various teams were coming in here, bringing all our gear, sorting out how should we sit, how do we set everything up. Well done. It's great. Love being part of this church family to make it all happen. And I'm excited to look at Psalm 77 with us as we kick off this year. So let me pray and we'll get stuck in. Father God, you sit in heaven and there is nothing that takes you by surprise. You're the Almighty. You're in control. You're good. You love your children. And so, Father, we pray that as we kick this year off, we will look into your word, we will hear you speak, and we will trust you more. Father, we pray this, that we want you to be our God. We want to trust you. Forgive us for the times when we try and take control of everything ourselves. Would you take our life and let it be ever only for you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been struggling today to say Happy New Year. Because I've been thinking of my grandmother who's now gone to be with the Lord, and she would grab little quaint sayings like that and say, well, who are you to tell me to have a happy new year? What if it isn't a happy one? We don't know what this year's going to hold, do we? Well, I guess we do. This year is going to be full of ups and downs. We know that, don't we? Yeah. Happy New Year. It's going to be full of ups and downs. So I thought I'd begin this year's very first sermon of the year with that joke I love to pull out every so often about the parents who had a set of twins, an optimist and a pessimist. And the parents decided they were going to sort the optimist and pessimist out with Christmas presents. And so for the pessimist, they filled a room full of presents. And when the pessimistic child woke up in the morning, opened up the door to the room and saw a room full of presents. Slumped shoulders, head down. I am never going to be able to open all of these presents. For the optimist, the parents filled the room with horse poo. Thought they'd sort out the optimist. And so the child wakes up, runs to the room, opens the door, looks, goes to grab a shovel and starts digging. There's got to be a horse in here somewhere. Here's the point. The over-optimistic person at some point in life will be disappointed. The overly pessimistic person will grow into depression. And so how are you and I supposed to navigate the ups and downs of life? And when I think about that question, I immediately think of, okay, well, I just need to be a realist. I need to be rational about everything. My wife and I, we watched a TV series over the holidays called The Burden of Truth. And the main character, she's a high-achieving, high-strung perfectionist. And in one of the episodes, she was getting all these symptoms of perhaps she's pregnant. And so she took a pregnancy test, and it was negative. Here was the response from this highly strung perfectionist. What do I do with that? I've never failed a test in my life. Highly strung, very serious, very rational. She was also someone that found it very difficult to relate to people. If we always need an answer for everything, We find our relationships rather difficult. And so optimism, we struggle. Pessimism, we struggle. Rationalism, we struggle. How do we navigate the ups and downs of this life? And this is important because we know in 2023, you and I are going to be hit by the ups and downs of life. There's going to be both the good and the bad, and there are no guarantees as to how good the good will be. There's no guarantees as to how bad the bad will be. Fortunately, the Christian story is all we need to navigate life. The Christian story is neither optimistic nor pessimistic. The Christian story doesn't answer our life through optimism nor pessimism. The Christian story answers this life with hope. That's why we chose Psalm 77 to kick off 2023. Psalm 77 reminds us that we need hope, where we find hope, and then we're going to finish with how we grow hope. And so that's where this sermon's headed from, Psalm 77, hope. Why we need it, where we find it, how we grow it. And so first of all, Psalm 77, the first heading, hope. Why we need it. You know, one of my favourite things about the Psalms is that they teach us to express our emotions. The Psalms, they teach us to shout out our praise to God, to raise our hands in praise to our God. And the Psalms also give us permission to pour out our heartache, to pour out our lament to God. And Psalm 77 is going to teach us how to rightly think and rightly feel when life is really, really, really awful. So you got your Bible open. We're going to reread those first few verses. And I want you to listen in carefully for the depth of grief. Psalm 77, verse 1. To the choir master, according to Jeduthun. You can tell me afterward what that even means. I'm not too sure. But it is a song of Asaph. Asaph wrote this. He was one of the song leaders back in the day. Him and his mate Ethan and Heman, they led the singing before the Ark of the Covenant as it was coming into Jerusalem with David. And then these were the three song leaders as well. Asaph was one of the three long song leaders of God's people. And so this is a song. And listen to how Asaph taught God's people to sing. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Selah. That word Selah, we're pretty sure what it means is pause and think about what you just sung. Pause right now and think about what you just read. A time in Asaph's life when he cried out day and night. Whatever was going on for him, it was so big, he refused to be comforted. Hear the depth of grief. Verse 4, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Selah. Meditate on what you just read. Asaph's life was so hard, he started to think, God has forgotten me. Crying aloud to God. day and night stretched out before God, refusal to be comforted, fainting spirit, eyes refusing to shut in sleep, mouth refusing to speak, fear that God has forgotten you. Brothers and sisters, this is normal. What's your idea of normal? Is it this? If you say your prayers, read your Bible, attend church, do good to people, steer clear of really bad sins, then you will avoid hardship and heartache? Do you automatically assume that if you're doing something wrong, do you automatically assume if you, that you are doing something wrong if you're suffering? Are you vulnerable enough in your small group to share your pain and your suffering, your doubts and your fears? If somebody else in your small group shares their suffering and their pain and their doubts and their fears, do you automatically assume you have to fix them? What would you have done with Asaph? Asaph, there's something wrong with you. There's something deficient in you. Stop expressing those kind of emotions. Stop asking those sort of questions. If you don't, other people are going to doubt God as well. Well, if Asaph was doing something wrong, why did God include Psalm 77 in the Bible? One of the biggest mistakes we make in Christian discipleship is to think if we do A, B, and C, then we will not experience evil, suffering. We will not experience being anxious. Which is a crazy thought, isn't it? It's only the first two chapters in the Bible that describe God's people living without suffering and pain. Every Bible hero, except Jesus, is flawed. Every Bible hero, including Jesus, suffers. The Christian story is crystal clear. You and I will suffer because ever since Adam and Eve, we have been living outside the Garden of Eden. Our world suffers under the consequences of our sin, our rebellion. Now, sometimes we can match our suffering with a specific sin. For instance, if you cheat on your exam at school and get busted, you'll fail. You're suffering because you cheated. If you were to get hit by a drunk driver and suffer a horrible accident, you'll know why you're suffering. But often, our suffering cannot be matched up with something that happened to us. All too often, that is true. And then there are just so many reasons why something might have happened. We do our head in if we try and match every bit of suffering up with every bit of sin or wrong. This is why God tells us in Romans chapter 8 that all of creation is groaning. And that groaning includes your groaning. It includes my groaning. The entire world is broken and groaning. Brothers and sisters, it's a fool's errand to try and match up every wrong with whatever caused it. Which is why we need something more than realism and optimism to navigate this life. We need hope. Because this world is broken under the weight of our rebellion and sin against God. Here's some of the best advice I can give you, some of the best wisdom. This world is broken, and so are you. And when I say broken, I mean really broken. Now, why is that wisdom? Because if it hasn't already, This life will throw situations that will crush you. If all you have is the power of positive thinking or the material resources to buy your way out of trouble or a screen or food or alcohol or a relationship to distract you from the pain and the suffering. We need hope beyond self-help, self-reliance, self-determination, and the hundreds of distractions we can buy for ourselves. Hope. We need it because we're broken people living in a broken world. Thanks, Asaph. What a way to start off the year, hey? Thank you, God, for this reminder in Psalm 77. We need something more than optimism, more than pessimism, more than realism. We need hope because we're broken people living in a broken world. The second point then, where do we find hope? And Asaph does tell us in the second half of Psalm 77, we find hope not in our own strength, but in God's strength. Have a look at verse 10. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. Two things just came to mind. First one is more serious than the second one. Right hand of the Most High. When God's people heard that a few thousand years ago, right hand, they would have immediately thought, they would have been triggered in a good way to think about God's might. Right hand was another way of saying the hand of power. It would be good for you to do a study of God's right hand, God's right arm, God's might through the Old Testament. There's that verse where God actually questions his people that had forgotten him, and he says, are my arms short? I heard a preacher once say, God is saying, am I T-Rex? You know, big, mean T-Rex. Have I got these little tiny arms? No! I'm the Almighty, my mighty right arm. I am here to take care of you. It'd be worth a study on that. That's the first little aside. Second one is, I forgot to say, is there a mobile? Look at that. If you've got questions out of this sermon, text them in. We've got all night. I mean, you guys were up till past midnight last night. Let's do it again tonight. If you've got questions in this sermon, text them in and we'll deal with them afterwards. Okay. What was that? That was only verse 10. God's right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. Stop. Meditate. Ponder on what you've just sung. God's mighty right hand is all powerful. And then Asaph remembers a very specific instance of God's mighty right arm. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Go home and read the Exodus again. Asaph remembered a very specific incident of God's mighty right hand, of God leading Israel through the Red Sea. Do you remember that time? They were slaves in Egypt, God's people. They were slaves of the most powerful army in the entire world. And God released them from that slavery through 10 plagues. And God marched his people out into the wilderness until they came up against a barrier, the Red Sea. And at that very same moment, the king of Egypt thought, why did I let Israel go? And so he grabbed his army, the most powerful army in the entire world, and chased Israel. And so there was Israel trapped between all the swords of the most powerful army in the world and the Red Sea. And all of Israel thought, oh, no worries. We've got God's mighty right hand. They didn't think that, did they? They panicked. They cowered. They completely forgot the mighty right hand of God, which is exactly what we do when we get overwhelmed by certain situations in this life. We forget God's mighty right hand. Oh, we post, if God is for us, who can be against us on Instagram or Facebook or whatever's out there these days? But when ... happens to us, we forget God's mighty right hand. What's your blank? What causes you to forget God's mighty right hand? Now, think back to Israel. What happened when they were trapped by Egypt and the Red Sea? God came. He parted the waters of the Red Sea miraculously. He marched his people through the Red Sea. And when Egypt came up behind them to slaughter them, God made the waters come back in and he killed the strongest army in the world. He rescued his people. That was Israel's Exodus story. What's our Exodus story? Do you remember it? We sing it every week, don't we? I hope you preach it to yourself every day. God sent his own son to die on a cross for our sin. God then raised Jesus out of the grave, back to life again, defeating death, and has seated Jesus on the throne of the universe. Right now, Jesus is reigning as Savior, as King. And God has said Jesus is coming back to grab his people to go be with him forever. Anyone who has turned to Jesus in repentance and faith has been cleansed from all of their sin and is guaranteed eternal life with God. That's our Exodus story. It is awesome. Whose mighty right hand won your salvation and is keeping your salvation? That's a real question. All right, we got to fix this in 2023. That was, I'm getting some hints. This is a real question. I want you to yell out an answer. Whose mighty... Thanks, son. Whose mighty right hand won our salvation and is keeping our salvation? Yeah. I'll leave it alone. And I want us to get this. So this isn't just me trying to be up the front and trying to G us up. Let's go. Romans 8. Flick over, Romans 8. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Yeah, sure, as it is written, for your sake we are all being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is not an Insta meme. It's not a tattoo. It's not some poster on a wall. That is God declaring his mighty right hand for his children. We find hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Quick recap. We need hope because we're broken people living in a broken world. And we find hope in God's mighty right hand, which is unstoppable and graphically displayed in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, our third and final point, hope. How do we grow it? Do you know, out of all the goals that we can set for ourselves this year, there will be none more important than the goals we set for growing our hope in God. And here is a little side bit of wisdom for the younger folk. I highly recommend. I'm not into New Year's resolutions, but I am into setting goals for Steve for this year. So set some goals for yourself to grow. Were you pricked by Phil when he was saying, oh, why don't you try and read through the Bible in a year? That would be a good goal, wouldn't it? And I'm about to reveal why that would be a good goal. There's no more important goals than setting goals for growing our hope in God, because here's the thing. We don't know when our between a rock and a hard place will come. But it will. And we don't know when, but it will. We don't know when, but it will. And here's something that we can know when our between a rock and a hard place comes. God's mighty right hand will not be weak. Here are some things we can bank on for 2023. We will be inundated by bad news stories from around the world and locally. Will we allow those bad news stories to make us doubt God's mighty right hand? We will be touched by bad news in 2023, perhaps really bad. Will we allow that to make us doubt God's mighty right hand? We will battle particular sins in 2023. Will we allow that battle to make us doubt God's mighty right hand? We will be under spiritual attack in 2023. Will we allow that spiritual battle to make us doubt God's mighty right hand? Can you see that growing our hope in God must be among the most important goals we set for ourselves every year? Optimism, pessimism, rational realism will let us down. God's mighty right hand is our only hope. And so here's where I want to encourage you for this year. If you haven't already, take charge of your prayer life. That's why we had that other Bible reading. So why don't we turn to it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let verses 16, 17, and 18 with their bigness, their largeness strike you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all things. Here's another real question. And a few answers. Make them quick. What are some things that might cause us to not want to rejoice and give thanks in all things. What are some of the bad things that might happen in 2023? Be as personal as you like or as general and global as you like. Illness, thank you. From the oncologist. So when he says illness, he can sometimes mean terminal illness. Yeah. Death of a loved one. War. That's all right. That's enough, isn't it? Yeah, disasters. It's one of those words I say with my funny American accent. Thank you. Disasters. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very real. Welcome to the Point Community Church on New Year's Day 2023. The list of brokenness, suffering, and evil outside the garden is long. How do we rejoice always? How do we give thanks in all circumstances? I mean, are these verses just the power of positive thinking wrapped up in the Bible? Of course not. Our Father would never give us empty optimism. But here's what God does do. He guarantees that nothing can separate the Christian from Him. And God's guarantee has an anchor. And the anchor is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you make a habit of daily prayer, of praying without ceasing, you will grow your hope. But don't simply pray like Asaph did in the first half of Psalm 77. Do you remember the first half? It was all of his circumstances. Dear God, I am so overwhelmed. I can't close my eyes. I don't want to sleep. I'm overwhelmed. I can't open my mouth. I don't want to be comforted. I think you have forgotten me. I. My circumstances. Yes, bring your circumstances to God, but don't leave your prayers there. Don't forget to lift your eyes like Asaph did and to remember God's mighty right hand. He remembered God's mighty right hand. And so here's a question that I want you to personally answer. So don't call out the answer. Actually, I want you to go home. I want you to go home and I'll do this. Look ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves this question. Is any evil or any amount of evil, is any suffering or any amount of suffering, is any sin or any amount of sin more powerful than God's mighty right hand? Look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself that question. What is it that you believe? Is there anything more powerful than God's mighty right hand? Because the Christian story, the Bible story, over and over and over and over and over again is no. So why do we get overwhelmed, anxious, and frightened? Because we focus on our circumstances rather than God's mighty right hand. Even in our prayers, we can focus on our circumstances rather than God's mighty right hand. George Mueller was a pastor in Bristol, England in the 19th century. And for 60 years he ministered, and he's most famous for his orphanages. Five large orphanages he set up, and in his lifetime within his orphanages, he looked after 10,000 orphans. At the beginning of his ministry, England was real povo back in the 19th century, especially the beginning of the 1800s. And there was only space to look after 3,600 orphans. By the end of George Mueller's ministry, there was space for over 100,000 orphans. Like, extraordinary in the space of 60 years. What's even more extraordinary is that George Mueller refused to go into debt and he refused to ask anyone for money. Think about that. Five large orphanages. In today's costings, that would be millions and millions of dollars, and George Mueller refused to go into debt and refused to ever ask for money. Do you know what George Mueller did? He prayed. But we've got to learn something very important about George's prayer life. He taught this when he was 71 years old to a bunch of Christians that were listening into him, some younger folk. This is what George had to say about his prayer life. "Now, in brotherly love and affection, I would give a few hints to my younger fellow believers as to the way in which to keep up spiritual enjoyment." Now, argue with me later. I think spiritual enjoyment, I think affections for God, I think treasuring Jesus, I think hope in God can all be related. But I'm just have to quote him. So he talked about spiritual enjoyment. Here's his tip to grow hope in God. "It is absolutely needful in order that happiness in the Lord may continue that the scriptures be regularly read. These are God's appointed means for the nourishment of the inner person. Consider it and ponder over it. Especially we should read regularly through the scriptures consecutively and not pick out here and there a chapter. If we do, we'll remain spiritual dwarfs. I tell you so affectionately. For the first 4 years of my conversion, I made no progress because I neglected the Bible. But when I regularly read on through the whole, with reference to my own heart and soul, I directly made progress. Then my peace and joy continued more and more. Now I have been doing this for 47 years. I've read through the whole Bible about 100 times, and I always find it fresh when I begin again. Thus my peace and joy have increased more and more." Wow. Imagine 47 years of reading the Bible every day. Here's what my point is not. If you and I read our Bible every day, we'll have all the money we want and we can grow lots of orphanages. That's not what I'm saying. If we read our Bible every day, in a way that we allow our God, who's good, to examine our lives, whatever circumstances come our way, we will trust the mighty right hand of God. But if we just drift along in life, if we just pray our circumstances, we'll end up like Asaph in the beginning. "I don't want to pray, I don't want to talk, I'm lost. Have you forgotten me, God?" But if we read the scriptures, not just our favorite bits from here and there and memes that we get off our Instagram feed, but we read through the scriptures and hear our God speak, we will know the nearness of God's mighty right hand. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are good. You could have walked away, you could have destroyed, you could have immediately judged humanity when Adam and Eve rebelled against you, but you didn't. You pursued over and over until finally you sent your Son. And so, Father, we thank you. There is nothing that can separate Christians from you. And so, Father, for those of us whom you have saved, thank you. And so would we remind ourselves, feed each other your words of your mighty right hand on a daily basis. And Father, I pray for anyone here tonight that's not yet saved. Oh, Father, would your Holy Spirit come upon them and would you convict them to turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.